You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Wayne, what's the scripture today? Acts 20, 30, and 31. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this is the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, it's good to be here this Sunday. Good to see a visitor here. Welcome. I hope you enjoy the service. Little Junkos, do you know what I'm talking about? Little dark-eyed Junkos. They're just coming into Oklahoma. Apparently, they stay here over the winter. And they go around the trees on the... Basically, they like being on the ground, and they scratch around the roses and stuff like that. Pretty little birds. And so we're seeing all sorts of things changing around our house with nice flowers we've got planted and nice birds. Although we're seeing more of these blackbirds coming in, and they're coming in and doing the damage and then taking off, and then in come the other birds, which we seem to like more for some reason. And feeders are going flat stick, so I'm topping them up with seed. So we're enjoying this. And we're also we're thinking of putting more feeders on the windows. So we've taken off the feeders for the hummingbirds, and we want to put some other feeders up on the windows so that people can just, as they're working, they can look and see that these nice birds come in. I've got one now, and Seppi's got one, and Seppi's just starting to attract the birds. My one's attracting all sorts of birds, and I keep my cell phone there, and when one lands, boonk, got a nice picture of them. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this opportunity, Lord, to open the scriptures and read more about thy holy word. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, you notice from the title here, the Bible, Inspiration, Preservation. This is part 12. I think I got my parts a bit messed up last time, but anyway. Part 12. We'll put that down to COVID. part 12. Now, my lungs, still not 100%, but getting better each week. Lungs are kind of slow at repairing, but we're getting there. So I've got to keep remembering to breathe. You know, as I told you probably before, you do actually stop breathing. Now, I know now, because I stopped breathing. I've got to breathe again. So you stop breathing often when you put water on yourself. When you take a shower, you'll find you do stop breathing, and you hold your breath as the water comes on your face. Well, I can't do that. Can't do it. I've got to keep breathing. And when I go up steps, I find it difficult. Although now I've got to the point where I can do two flights of steps without being too hard on me. Now, when I first got out of the hospital, that would have been all I could do about that. That's how bad it was, you know, breathing. So, my advice to all of you is to get in and get the therapeutics on your shelf. Now, you may not be anywhere near as vulnerable as myself. My mother is about the healthiest person that I've ever seen in regards to things like colds and flus. Nah, didn't happen. If she did, it'd be a little sniffle, you know. And myself and my dad, boom, a virus comes around, we'll catch it. And then I'll deal with it and change it a bit and then give it to my dad. He'll deal with it for a while and give it back to me. And so it will go on all the winter, you know. So if you're like me and you have a susceptibility there, get the stuff in the shelf, man. Call up frontline doctors. Okay, cool. So we're on this topic. Let's do something different. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. I want to show you something here in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter number 1, and verse number 1, it starts with the beginning. Well, the Bible has a beginning. It also has an ending. And as the Bible begins, so you find there is a great parallel in how it ends. Now, if you look at the verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Well, he did that. At some time, God, in time past, created the heaven and the earth. And it was a done deal. And then it says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Now, just before we go on there, just after Isaiah, there's the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah I've been reading, and it is just, oh man, that's one of the greatest books. So, of course, any book you go to in the Bible is a great book. I understand that. But from my perspective, where I am in comparing what's going on in the book of Acts, Jeremiah has a lot to say. Okay, so in Jeremiah chapter 4, look at verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. The possibility of repentance and God dealing with their repentance and forgiving them their sins is still on the table here. And Jeremiah is being used to tell them this. However, they are in disobedience. So if you come down a little bit further to chapter 4, verse 22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. And they have none understanding. Boy, is this the case today. None understanding. Without understanding, my people will perish. And that's a general truth, too. And we've got to get understanding. We've got to know what this country was and how it was settled originally and what the intent of the founders were, and look at the documents that they left us and how great they are, and how we need to stand up for them. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Uh-oh. Now, this kind of people is headed for judgment. And at the end, they are judged, and they're taken off into captivity. And we don't watch out, the same thing's going to happen to us. You know what I've been doing? I've been looking at the Declaration of Independence and looking there at how the king was accused of mistreating the American people and their colonies. Now, it's amazing. If you look at those accusations of what the king was doing, Great Britain was doing, and then you look and see what is going on with the leftists today, there is a tremendous parallel, man. It's a parallel. You need to look at that. I'll show you some of my findings when I finish with this. And then in verse 23, it says, look, in this context of judgment, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Judgment without form and void is an expression used by the inspired writer to show judgment. Go back to Genesis 1 and verse 2. So first of all, God made the heavens and the earth. And he would have done a great creator's job. You know. In verse 2, and the earth was without form. It became so. And void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Here we have a refurbishment of the new creation. There was this original one, and then some kind of judgment came on the earth. And then when you read a little bit further on, go to Genesis chapter 3, and just prior to chapter 3, if you just put your eyes back up, verse 23, and Adam, this is chapter 2, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man, showing you the origin of woman. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Here is the origin of marriage. One man, one woman. That's the origin of it. You get the origin straight, and you get your life straight. It's not Adam and Steve. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's how it began. Now, chapter 3, look what it says. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Well, wait a minute. We have a serpent now appearing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Man, it was beautiful. But then there was some kind of judgment that came on the earth. And we know for a fact that at some stage, Lucifer fell. He fell from glory. Somewhere in between when God created heaven and the earth and when there was this judgment, there was this fall of Lucifer. And then Lucifer, then having this metaphor of a serpent, appears in the garden. And then it says this. It says this in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. And he said unto the woman, yea. Very positive snake, this one. Very positive. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The serpent comes in questioning God's word. Very positively, though. Very, very positive approach. Right? It starts like that. And then it goes on, it says, verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Look what she does. Lest ye die. Lest ye die. Some uncertainty she placed in there. But God says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Definite. Taking away, right? Taking away from the word of God. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now he comes in with an absolute negation of God's word. Doubt was brought in. And then once the serpent heard the doubt placed in there, then he says, God's word is garbage. Right? Thou shalt not surely die. Complete negation of what God said. Can you see how it works? That's what's going on today, my friends, with the Bible issue. Same thing's going on. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. A positive experience. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, the knowledge of good and evil will bring people to perversion. And that's the rest of the history of Genesis, you'll see that. This fallenness comes onto mankind. He listens to the snake, and man goes down. A great fall comes in. And God uses man's disobedience to bring in Christ later on, who will bring about the salvation of mankind. Look at verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15. Now I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, he's talking to the snake, and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. It, the seed of the woman, it shall bruise thy head. That's the snake's head. That is a good hit on the head, man. Now, if you want to do the snake in, you smash his head. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, that's painful. The snake will bruise the seed of the woman's heel. But that's not a death blow in the sense of finality. It's not a blow that's going to keep him down. But it is a blow. And it does happen. The seed of the woman does indeed come, who is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Right from the beginning, what do you see? Degradation of God's word. And then finally, what happens is the fall of mankind and God interceding with the promise of the seed. Now go across to Revelation 22. Let's go right. We looked at the beginning, man. We saw what happened with the word of God at the beginning. Now let's go right to the end. He's got to breathe, man. He's got to breathe. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Man, this book is alive. Revelation chapter 22 says this. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You want to add to this book, the one that's being written down here? Well, then you're going to have something added to you, he says. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You better be careful about messing with this book. Because if you mess with it, God's got his eye on it. Now, if you start to see what's going on, if you start to investigate for yourself what's going on, you'll see that there's tremendous corruption going on by people who call themselves scholars of the scriptures. And last time we talked about this, we talked about the warnings in scripture about corrupting the word of God and how that God must preserve his word. It's all about preservation. There was an attempt to destroy this earth, and what does God do? He then remakes it. Right? Satan comes and tries to destroy God's plan with man. And what does God do? The seed of the woman is coming. Right? It's all about God doing things, planning things, preserving things, promising things. And they come to us in terms of the scriptures. We read about them. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? We believe this. But how are they going to come to the knowledge of the truth if the truth has not been preserved? How can we preach God's word if it's not preserved? A lot more passages we looked at. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice this is spoken by Paul to Timothy in time. Right? First century. Writing to Timothy. And it's given by inspiration. What he had was inspired and preserved. Okay, cool. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is going to be used by God to preserve his word. And we should see through time this happening. Okay, cool. We should also see apostates coming in and trying to destroy this as well. We should see that. Okay, today, man, today. Look at this. This is a neat little quote I took from Pickering's book. As to be an Aleph. Now, B is the Vaticanus and Aleph is the Sinaiticus. We have already noted Hoskia's statement that these two manuscripts disagree over 3,000 times in the space of four Gospels. Now, wait a minute. What's he saying? The two big manuscripts that the modern translations come from, these are the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. And what research shows is that they disagree with each other in 3,000 times, 3,000 places. That is, they have over 3,000 mistakes between them. Now, wait a minute. These are supposed to be the great manuscripts from which we are somehow going to find God's word, and they don't even agree with themselves. This is not the way the majority text from which the King James comes is not the case. You don't find that. But you do find huge variations within these manuscripts from which the modern Bibles are translated. Now, there's a great passage which we just read, Paul giving warning. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. We should expect this, that through church history, we will find certain people that will feign the name of Christ to do damage. They will be the instruments of the devil to try and destroy God's word. We should see that. And it says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Man, obviously this was an issue in Paul's day. And Paul, remember, we went through this. He talks about the fact that he would sign his letters. we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. 1 Timothy 6:20, look at this. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and opposition of science. See up here, of science, this is knowledge, gnosios, of knowledge. And this is the knowledge which is feigned. And there are people called Gnostics living at this time who would try and draw people away with all of their so-called knowledge which they took from various pagan ideas. And Paul is warning about this. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Where are we to go for our truth and how we are to live? To Christ. And Christ speaks to us in this age through Paul the prisoner, primarily. Now we get a lot of truth about God and his purposes by all authors of the scriptures. But my friends, we are not going to go to the rudiments, the alpha and betas and gammas and deltas of the world to try and get our knowledge of God and his purposes. Now look at this. So let's look at this. This gets to be quite interesting, right? Now look at this passage. Just have a look it up. Have a look at it in our own Bibles. This is Romans 13 and verse 9. I want you to look at this. This is a reality of many Bibles today. And look what it says. We'll read from verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. These are great words by Paul here. Now look at verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That idea of the love is what heads everything up. Now notice, pseudomartyresis. Let's have a look at that. I'm going to write this thing out. Pseudo-martyresis. Okay, let's look at some of the words here. Here, pseudo, false. Okay? Martyre, that comes from this, which means to witness. You know what a martyr is. A martyr is someone who witnesses to the truth and ends up giving his life for the truth. This is the ending, second person. And this is a letter that indicates that this is future. This is the negative. Okay. So, thou shalt not bear witness which is false. Right? That's how the word goes. Now, thou shalt not bear false witness, as it's translated in the King James. See this particular phrase here? Gonzo, man. Modern Bibles typically will remove this. See here, let's look at the English Standard Version. Here it is in this blue here. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments. Well, where's the bit about not bearing false witness? It's not there. Right? It's not there. And if you look over here, see up the top here, it's called Vaticanus. The Vaticanus. And you notice here we've got Romans 13:9, and the part to do with pseudo pseudo-martyraceis, ou, is not there. You can see klepsis. Okay, so the klepsis you can see in here. And then it jumps to the next phrase, ouk epithumeses. But this particular verb is not there. It's gone. Okay? Similarly, you can look through this one as well. This is the Alexandrinus. It's not there. Okay? So this is the English Standard Version. Jehudi's penknife is going into it. Now let's think about this. Do you think it's possible that when scribes who have very little respect for God's word and they come across a passage, thou shalt not bear false witness, and here what they are doing is bearing false witness, do you think it might be a little bit convenient to take that out? You know what I'm saying? Might be a little bit convenient to remove that, because you're actively involved with bearing false witness. And I'm just emphasizing this, you know, like in the English Standard Version. It's gone. Right? Now, a lot of people reading their Bibles, they may not even notice this. They may not even notice it. Maybe you're in a big church and everybody's got an English Standard Version or some other Bible and it's done something similar. Right? And you don't notice it. You're reading the same perversion. Look at this. So is this a storm in the teacup? Look at the verse. This is Matthew 18:11. It says, and you can look it up. Just see how important this is. I'll give you time to look it up. Just look it up and see whether it says the same thing that I'm showing you here, friends. This is the time of great apostasy, friends, when the Bible is being attacked. Now, I have learned a lot from Bullinger, but I don't totally respect him for everything. Right? And you'll find that even Bullinger starts to correct the King James reading, which is the majority reading. Look what it says. This is Matthew 18. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Oh man, isn't that a beautiful... Now we know contextually he's talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but we know from John and from Paul's further teaching that he indeed did do that for all the world and for all the Gentiles as well, not just the Jews. For the Son of Man has come to say... I think that's a pretty cool verse. It's a pretty good summary of what Christ did, don't you think? And that's gonzo in many modern Bibles. Not all of them, but many of them. Remember, these manuscripts differ from one another. And so the eclectic scribe will say, well, I think today we'll take this one. Yeah. Today's the flavor. Gonzo, man. Let's look them up. English Standard Version. Matthew 18:11. Boy, this is easy to memorize. Gonzo, man. Gonzo. It's not there. It's not in the English Standard Version. Does it matter, or is this just a storm in the teacup? Stuart, you're just giving a whole lot of stuff and it's not important. Really? This is not important. This is one of the most important issues we've probably discussed in this church thus far. Because it goes right back to where we get our knowledge from. On what basis? Tischendorf's Bible. All of these things. Gonzo, man. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go across here to Vaticanus. Now, let's see. This is Matthew 18:10. Look at the numbers. Matthew 18:10. Da 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 da. Oh, wait a minute. Then the next is 12. What? I thought it went 10 and then 11 and then 12. New math. New math is here, friends. You don't count 11s anymore. Just go 10 then 12. You like that? Oh man, okay. So, you know, when you want to get 12 eggs, you just get 11, do you? Okay, well, anyway. So, this is cool. Here's another one. This is Sinaiticus 18:10, 18:12. Yeah, we know where their authority is, right? These guys are getting their Bible from these corrupt manuscripts. That's where that's what they're doing. Look at this one. Peace to whom? This is Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Goodwill among the men. And the anthropois here means persons. We understand that. Mankind. Okay. Now look at this. Let's go. We're going to pick on the English Standard Version today. I mean, surely one of the things about preservation is we should see the right people involved. We should see the right manuscripts involved. Look at this. It says this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Only peace with among those whom he is pleased. That's a big change, friends. That's a big change. Right? You know, if you've been reading the Bible and you've been in touch with the Lord over the years, you'll just hear that and know the devil's in there. You can just see what's going on here. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. And if you experience some sort of peace, well, then a lot of people want to interpret that to mean that, you know, God's pleased with you. And I'm just showing you here some of the other versions where this same translation comes about. And here is a little note. Some manuscripts, peace, goodwill among men. So in the notes, they're recognizing that some manuscripts read as the King James. How many? Some. No, not some. The majority of manuscripts. Not some. You see that? Some. No, the majority. Cool. Gonzo man, look at this. Mark 6:11. And whoso shall not receive you, nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Well, let's think about that here. Those people who are not accepting the witness of the disciples, what's going to happen? Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. I wonder what the scribes would think of that. Okay, so down here. Wait a minute. Look at the King James here and look at the English Standard Version. Can you see there's a whole lot of words here and not so many there? See this? Verily I say. Where's that? Not there. Gonzo, finishimo, endo. Gonzo, man. They've taken it out. Bearing false witness. What? Yeah, man. And it's in the text. I'm just showing you, you can see where the authorities come from. Same thing. What am I pointing out to you, my friends? I'm saying to you there has been an attack on the scriptures. And this book, the King James, is really just standing alone on all this. You've got to admit it, man. And you've got to start doing your homework. You've got to start looking for God's footsteps through the ages. How has he preserved his word? And I'm telling you, he has done it. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for our message today of life in Christ, that we have his word, that we can trust his word, that as he has preserved his word, he will also preserve us, that he will give us this great resurrection. We pray, Lord, for the country now, for your Spirit to work in the lives of leaders, Lord, and that we'd see new leaders rise up who'd stand up for the truth of Christ and him crucified And Lord, that they would be good examples in all things. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.